Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse MLL Podcast. We have a very special podcast for you. I am joined, as always, by Kyle Davitt. Kyle, say what up.
What up?
But also joining us are Matt Kinnear and Zach Babbo, who work for Inside Lacrosse and do a fair amount of MLL coverage themselves. And, you know, with a slow MLL week with only one game last weekend as Hamilton takes care of business against the Ohio Machine, and obviously a exciting Memorial Day weekend as far as college lacrosse is concerned, and hopefully in all of your trips to the beach or whatever other types of luxurious relaxation everybody took part in, we're going to rewind a little bit to either 3 or 4 years ago, prior to when the MLL shifted its calendar to have a pre-college season draft. And if you know, those of you remember the post-college season draft, it occurred in the week after the college season was over. Probably would have happened either Wednesday or Thursday of this week. You know, typically the draft followed a full day workout and essentially a pseudo scrimmage that, you know, have gone down in a little bit of lore in terms of their competitiveness and that sort of thing. And also, you know, one of the big differences is that MLL GMs were able to take into account injuries, players deciding not to play MLL, and senior season performance. And essentially that's kind of what we're trying to project onto this MLL draft. Obviously, you know, it's particularly timely this season given the number one overall pick, Peter Baum of the Ohio Machine, having a type of season that may not have left him as the number one pick, and then, you know, kind of definitively putting the nail in his MLL coffin by choosing to play LXM this summer. And, you know, certainly we, Kyle and I discussed that on the podcast last week. Not a ton of reason to rehash that, but among the other players who were drafted who essentially for the purposes of this exercise are not included in this draft, are Peter Baum, obviously, Chris LaPierre, who had a knee injury and is seeking a medical redshirt at Virginia, Casey Carroll, same story at Duke, after his, you know, epic story of spending five years in military service, and then Joe Lisicki, a long stick slash close defenseman at Lynchburg, who did not play this season as well and will not suit up for the Ohio Machine this summer. That being said, in order to make this a little bit, I guess, more a gathering of opinions, essentially distributed the draft picks or the teams assigned to each draft pick among the four of us. Each of us took two. I'm going to have to pull up, why don't we just go around and everybody explain who they got. Kyle, you're up first.
All right, I have the Hamilton Nationals. And, of course, the hometown Boston Cannons.
And I guess now's a good time to explain where, given this exercise, you felt like the needs of each team felt with the imaginary pre-draft roster that includes the trades up to the beginning of the draft.
I believe both teams are in dire need of athletic midfielders and long poles.
All right. And Matt Kinnear, who'd you draw?
I have the New York Lizards and the Charlotte Hounds. I have two of the more interesting teams in the sense that, you know, they were two of the more active teams in the offseason leading up to the draft. The Lizards actually don't even have a pick in the first four rounds. Their work in some ways is done with acquiring Mark Matthews right before the draft. I guess my fear is some of my late round magic because of the preseason format of the draft, you know, in getting Jojo Marasco and Jeff Tundo, among others, won't really be something I can do this year because they kind of proved themselves a little bit this college season.
Fair point, and it's essentially exactly what we're looking to do.
Yeah, and as for Charlotte, you know, I'm definitely looking to shore up my defense a little bit, and then also, you know, with the trades of Bitter and Jeremy Baltus, you know, always looking for some help down in attack, and see who can complement Danowski.
And Zach?
I have the Ohio Machine and the Denver Outlaws. In some ways, I guess, I don't know if the Machine are an envious team to draft for or not, because they effectively need just about anybody, and then the more talent, the better. So I can kind of approach them as a need-based idea or as just kind of maybe trying to acquire the best raw talent and hoping it works out on the roster somewhere. Denver is a little more nuanced. I mean, they have some established veterans. I think they probably need a little more help, maybe around the defensive end, maybe kind of in transition going back and forth. The teams haven't been. I mean, Denver was involved in some trades, you know, shipping guys like Matthews out to New York, but I think it's not. They're not too glaring, and mostly I think it'll be trying to pick up some supplementary pieces for them.
And I've got Rochester and Chesapeake to round things out, and pretty similar approach, I think, to what you just went through, Zach. As far as the Rattlers are concerned, you know, kind of looking for a best player available type situation. You know, I don't feel as much need to add at the attack as I do at the midfield and defensively. And then for Chesapeake, you know, their pre-draft strategy was pretty clear. You know, they were looking to take the best pull on the board, and they were in love with Jesse Bernhardt. Kind of agree with where they were coming from. I think that was an area that needed to be addressed. And then, you know, more or less just kind of filling out the stable, particularly the stable of midfielders that has been so good for them for so long. So that being said, you know, this isn't supposed to be boring. We're going to limit picks to 30 seconds, and if that ends up being too long, I will arbitrarily kind of conducting my, or, you know, this role as commissioner, make people go faster. And, you know, I don't think that we need to worry too much about the mute button. If there's a bad pick that gets taken off the board, I'm sure that Kyle's not going to hold back. So the only reason that we can't, you know, we can't let him get out of control. So I think Matt and Zach, the onus is on us to make sure that we balance that out. We're only going to do the first four rounds because I don't think anybody, I certainly recall my own attitude in the late rounds of the actual MLL draft. I don't think anybody's going to listen to much more beyond that. And we're going to use the draft order that the MLL used. So basically all of the post-draft trades, post-trade drafts are what we're looking for. And, yeah, with that, the Ohio Machine and Zach Babbo, you are on the clock.
All right. This is actually, I feel a lot of people can maybe sometimes take that opinion. The first pick is not always the best one because there's almost too much trying to work from here. They need offensive help. They have more than enough two-way middies, but I guess no one from the midfield strictly offensively jumps out of me enough to really want to pass up taking Josh Hawkins with the first pick. The guy's just an athletic beast. I know Ohio has more than enough two-way middies right now, but at a certain point, I don't know, the guy who's he just seems built for the MLL game in terms of powerful, you know, speedy, and he'll be able to cross-check anybody he wants in the MLL, unlike in the NCAA, so...
That's a very good point. But that leaves Kyle with the number two pick for the Hamilton Nationals. He already stole one of your players. What's up next?
With the number two pick in the redraft, the Nationals take Jesse Bernhardt, long sticker, Maryland. That was my Canadian accent.
It was great. It really was. I know how much you've been trying to bust that out recently.
I'm really proud of it. Thanks.
Should we have held this draft at Tim Hortons?
Yeah, sure. No dude boot it.
Breaking from the Hamilton tradition of targeting native or Canadian players with Jesse Bernhardt, who's from Florida, which is about as far away from Canada as you can get.
Yeah, sure. I think he meets a need and, you know, definitely helps them out, gives Brody Merrow a little protege. So I think he'll develop well up there.
All right, right on. Matt Kinnear, Charlotte Hounds, you're up next.
The Charlotte Hounds are actually going to go with the same pick that they made on the collegiate draft day. We are going to pick Tucker Durkin with the third pick. The caveat here is that we are not trading him away like we did last season.
Wow, that is very disheartening news for the Chesapeake Bayhawks.
Yeah, last season, you know, we sent Durkin away to the Nationals for John Haas, Casey Carroll, and Jake Trapuka. Although Trapuka is a guy who I think his stock has risen. Obviously Casey Carroll's injury, you know, kind of in hindsight would make that trade not a successful one. So, I'm just going to stick with Tucker Durkin and shore up that defense.
All right, right on. Well, you essentially put kind of back me into a corner a little bit. And I guess we're just this, and you see this address all the time. You get runs. So I'm going to have to take Scott Ratliff, long stick midi, Loyola Greyhounds. What? No reaction? I heard like a low piano tone in the background.
I mean, it's a good transition pull. I don't know if I get. Yeah, that seems to fit in the Chesapeake's model. So,
well, I mean, if they were looking for, it, you know, ultimately they settled on Bernhardt. If Durkin was the next option, then Ratliff would be the third option from that.
I
feel good about it.
Ratliff myself to kind of be another pull for Denver. So.
Well, there you go. All right, well, let's swing it back around to Kyle. Hamilton Nationals in the fifth position.
Hamilton Nationals take Denver midfielder Cam Flint, fellow Canadian, and we are happy to have him on board.
I like that. Do you think he'll take faceoffs in the MLL?
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, it's too specialized.
Do you think he'll take wings of faceoffs, or is he going to be like one of those strictly offensive players?
Well, I mean, he's going to be on Boston in real life, and he's going to replace Matt Smalley on the wing. So, you can't. I mean, it's a good move. You know what I mean? That's an upgrade. So, I think he'll do well. You know, regardless, he's got, you know, MLL frame, MLL body, experience with the Canadian national team, and he's a good player.
All right, well, sticking with you, Kyle. Boston Cannons, number six.
This is tough. I think the Cannons need a guy that can rip from outside, and they're going to take Mike Sawyer.
Ah.
I like that. I think a third attackman is, you know, and particularly a traditional third attackman, is pretty much exactly what they need.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely fits that third guy. I mean, then Buck can go play midfield and they can shore everything else up.
What it doesn't do is address their lack of athleticism, particularly at the attack, but kind of all over the field, with the exception of the fact that it does free up Buchanan to play midfield.
Right, and he's the most athletic player they have besides Rabel. So I think that helps just offensively because their transition defense is so poor when Buchanan's like stuck Buchanan's smaller than people think he is. He gets stuck on defense and doesn't really help them out. So if he doesn't get off the field, it's no bueno.
With the seventh pick in the fake MLL draft, the Denver Outlaws.
Well, I said Denver, you know, one of the areas I was looking for was kind of the back end, the defensive help. And so with guys like Durkin and Bernhardt and Ratliff gone, all guys I kind of had targeted to try and scoop up, I guess I'll move to the next poll on my draft board, and I'll take Brian McGill from Syracuse. I think the way that he kind of plays that real muscly, you know, aggressive defense is another one kind of like Hawkins in terms of it fits the MLL style well, and that you can beat up on guys and push and slash and stuff a bit more in this league. And I think he'll embrace that style.
And with the last pick in the first round, the Charlotte Hounds select. And actually, you know what? I wish that there was some sort of like ability to bet because I am like 99% sure who Matt's going to pick.
99% sure, huh? Well, I'll let you know. I was going to pick Sawyer, but Devitt kind of screwed that for me. I know how much, you know, me acting as Charlotte GM is kind of channeling Wade Lephart here and kind of what he does. You know, he likes to get the local guys. He likes the hometown crowd. So I was going to go with Sawyer, and you know, he's already proven valuable in the early weeks of MLL play. But I'm going to go with a guy with another local ties, another attackman, in Marcus Holman.
Yeah, my 99%, you know, kind of bore itself out. Not surprised by that. Good pick.
Another guy who I think, you know, his draft stock only rose through this season here. You know. Last year, you could have made the argument he was the third best attackman on the board, but now I think he's clearly the number one, Baum included, if he was in the mix here.
Right on. All right, well, moving on to the second round. We have the Boston Cannons via a trade, picking at the number nine slot.
I got to say, there's too much quality on the board to go pull. It's a deep pull draft, and I think all these guys I have are going to slip.
By the way, are you like still kind of channeling the Canadian accent, even though you're drafting for Boston?
No, that's how I really talk. Thanks, though.
This is awkward.
I'm also sick, but you know, rub it in. It's cool. I think, you know, best player on the board is the best way to go, and the Cannons select Logan Schuss.
I respect that.
Another pick. I'm just getting my my draft board ripped apart here.
It's getting interesting now. All right, Kyle, back to you with the Hamilton Nationals. You kind of cannibalized yourself right there.
Yeah, it's tough to pick with both, but I don't want to be accused of being a homer, even though everyone's going to do it anyway. Let's see. I think the Hamilton Nationals will go another Canadian son, Cornell Longpole, Jason Noble.
Okay. I can see that. Kind of getting a little bit more athletic, a little bit more aggressive on the edges defensively with him pairing with Bernhard.
Yep. A little smaller, a little quicker, a little rattier.
And now we've got one of the, you know, kind of odder anomalies in terms of how draft night worked out as the Ohio Machine get three picks in a row. So, Zach, are you ready?
Yeah, okay. This is it's another one, almost like the first pick where I feel like no matter what you do, three picks in a row, it's going to be easy to look at until you screwed it up. I'm going to take I think he's a little undersized for the league, but I just what I saw of him in senior year, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. I'm taking JoJo Marasco first. I like how he plays. I like kind of how smart of a game he exposed this year. I think the box experience he's picked up is going to pay dividends. I like him as a player. After that, this pick might surprise some people. I'm taking Eric Law from Denver. I had a conversation with Matt Brown the other day, and Matt Brown said that both him and Langtree have called Eric Law the smartest player they've ever coached or dealt with. And I think that, you know, goes a decent way there. And he kind of then plays along other cerebral players like Steele Stanwyck and JoJo Marasco. The third one here is really a really tough one. I'm tempted to go a couple ways with it, and obviously between injuries or potential commitment issues, it's hard. I think I'm going to I'm gonna take a flyer, you know, take a gamble here, and I'm going with Garrett Toole from Army. I know the service guys are difficult to nail down commitment wise, but he's a bomber. He plays with a lot of heart. He plays tough. I think he's another guy that stylistically adapts well to this league.
Right on. It's a good stretch.
As the GM for the New York franchise, I'm a little pissed at Babbo here. You know, Marasco was the late-round steal of the draft, I thought, last year. And he only proved this season his worth with how he played in the college season for Syracuse. You know, last year in the real draft, New York got him at the 37th pick. And, you know, there was no way he was going to fall that far this year.
And now, if I'm right, I think that's about it for Ohio here, if we're just doing the first four rounds. So, Sewell, I hope you round out my draft class nicely.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's interesting, too, to me, insofar as how you did just by going so offense-heavy, you know, the choices were similar to what Ohio ended up doing, albeit the pieces are different. But in terms of the inside outside, you know, Dodger with Marasco, you know, ball carrier with Law, shooter with Thule, it does have a pretty good MLL formula. You agree, Kyle?
Yeah, definitely. That's an accurate assessment. I would definitely think so.
All right, right on. All right, well, two picks left in the second round. The first one goes to the Hamilton Nationals at number 15.
All right. Hamilton Nationals. So that,
did we skip Boston here?
Yeah, no, you're right. Boston. I skipped Boston. Boston number 14.
Boston is going to go and roll the dice because this guy might not be available and they need pull help. Going to take Mason Poley out of Bryant. A little high, but definitely addresses a need and plays the style that Boston plays.
I was going to say, keeping with the tradition of offense first long sticks.
That's how they play. Got to get a guy that fits in the system.
All right, right on. And sticking with you, Hamilton Nationals, number 15.
Hamilton Nationals. Need a athletic midfielder. I abandoned the Canadian accent. It's too hard. And it's driving me crazy. David Lawson out of Duke. Really impressed me in championship weekend. I'm going to take him high.
That's
feel good about it.
I like that pick a lot. I was thinking about taking him. I'm up next with the Bayhawks. Thinking about taking him with the Bayhawks. I don't know. I mean, they're almost as loyal to the types of players that they bring in as, you know, whether it be like Mid-Atlantic roots, Kyle connections, whatever. You know, it's like a Chesapeake kind of, or I'm sorry, It's like the way Hamilton is so loyal to the player, the types of players they bring in. It's a modified version of that. And I wasn't sure whether or not Lawson would totally fit the bill as far as that goes, but he's just such a their type of player.
Oh, absolutely. Which is what Hamilton does. They steal other people's ideas. So.
And they make them work.
It depends.
Some years they do.
Hunts has righted the ship. Let's give credit where credit's due.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, now I got to regroup a little bit. So with the last pick in the second round, I'm decided between two Maryland more or less midfielders. I'm going to go with John Hawes, midfielder, University of Maryland. I know he didn't have the best year, but I think he projects well. He's been able to play at two ends. He's a Dodger feeder. He could actually almost play attack, depending on how injuries and stuff like that shook out. I think he provides some flexibility in the roster that is nice. And they just have so few needs, he almost comes across as a luxury and a type of guy that would fit in.
So he's one more Maryland guy that Cotto will probably trade 3 weeks in because he knows he wants an opportunity to play on some other roster in the MLL.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to break out and put up 40 points next season.
You know, I'll give Cotto that at least, though. He's true to his Maryland guys, but he drafts them, and once he realizes they won't make the Bayhawks roster, he tries to ship them somewhere that they actually get to play. I mean, look at Drew Snyder about a year ago. So.
Well, and Jeremy Sieverts, who kind of toiled there for a year as well.
He seems to get his boys on the field.
What's that?
You know who Cotto likes more than Hawes? The other Maryland midfielder you're probably deciding on.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was. It was between him and Kevin Cooper.
Yeah, he loves him. But
Cooper's more likely to be on the board a little later, I think. But we'll see. Now that we've talked about him, maybe that's not the case.
All right.
Well, let's move on to round three. I have a pick again. Rochester Rattlers, first pick of the night, which is crazy. And it's funny, you know, this is a league, I think, that it comes down to, I guess, two-way midfielders, offensive midfielders, guys that can make things happen. You know, there are a couple of guys with Central New York connections that are still on the board that could fit that bill. Like I said at the top, I think that the way this is shaken out, you're going to be able to find a little bit more value in terms of attackmen than you will in terms of midfielders and also athletic long poles. That being said, I think it is an area of need that needs to be addressed first. So I'm basically deciding between a player that has Central New York connections, or two players that have Central New York connections, and another guy who I think is better but doesn't. I'm going to go with John Rannigan, Johns Hopkins.
Wow. Wow.
Why such shock, Kyle?
I don't know. I like my guy to shoot.
Well, John shoots. Just you didn't say you like your guys to hit the cage, though.
That's true.
I mean,
you can't get like worse at that, right? That's like something you can get better at.
Yeah, I would assume. And it's not as if, I mean, you know, there are a lot of possession shots to go around that midfield.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot of shifts to go around that midfield. They're dressing guys that are like 40. So.
Well, I've got a pick coming around in three picks, so hopefully I'll be able to flesh this opportunity out a little bit. But, let's talk about the Hamilton Nationals, picking number 18.
All right. I think I'm going to make a pick here that they would have made anyway. He's still on the board. You know, Matt Delente is one heck of a faceoff guy, but I think Chase Carraro would be an excellent addition in Hamilton, don't you?
I do, particularly playing alongside – he's playing alongside Cam Flint in this draft, right?
Yep.
There you go.
Little Denver connection. So the Hamilton Nationals select Chase Carraro.
I'm a little intrigued. I'm intrigued about Carraro's ability to contribute this summer just because he's so banged up.
I mean, they already have a faceoff guy. So he would be just, you know, a stasher. You know, just stash him.
It's a good call. It's such a tough league to stash players in, at least players with big college profiles. A lot easier to do that.
The one guy you could do that with. The one position you could probably do that with, or there's two, is like face-off and goalie. Because only one of those guys dresses the game. I mean, yeah, you dress two goalies, but whatever. Who cares about being a backup goalie, you know? But if you have a backup face-off guy, your face-off guy gets hurt, you just bring him in, you know? And even if he's rough, he gets the experience. So I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, Kyle, I was sitting here, you know, with Charlotte not having a pick until the 24th pick here. I was kind of watching him fall every tip there and just hoping he kind of snuck to me, because that would have been perfect to compliment Jeff Snyder for that.
Can you think of a kid who almost, you know, in this draft, the injury question hangs over more? I mean, if Chase Carrera is 100%, is he not a top 10 pick maybe? I mean, the kid, is, you know, he's got a great offensive game. He faces off really well. He's really fast. I mean, I think he's a really valuable chip. If it wasn't for the fact that you're not quite sure what the health of his leg is, you know, he's a bit more of a wild card.
I agree with that. And he also, one of the things that he's got in his corner is that he comes across as like, you know, a very committed to lacrosse, which, you know, at this level is an important thing. The one knock I would have, and I'm not sure that it would have kept him out of the top 10 pick, but, you know, the one knock I do have is he is small, and MLL defenders only get bigger. You know what I mean? You're going to see a big matchup, whether it's a shorty or a long pull, every week, whereas at Denver, you can't really say that. He was, you know, dodging against some shorties that he could have shot over.
True. I mean, the size question, you know, was interesting to me too. But that just, I felt when you saw glimpses of his game when he was fully healthy, he's an impressive kid, and speed especially. I thought, you know, that can kind of help his size issue a little bit. But
well, Zach, let's stay with you. The 19th overall pick, Denver.
And now, yeah, after I talk about the offensive gifts of one guy, I know what I was focusing on in Denver. I was trying to get, you know, good solid poles and guys who play the back end, and if he's still on the board, I'm taking him. Reed Acton from Loyola.
I like that pick. Tough interior. Knows how to play against Canadians. It's important in this league. Okay. Anybody else? No? No?
No, I mean, that was I was going to make that pick, and then I saw Matt at the bottom of the board, and I was like, gotta screw Matt. Yeah. So, you know.
All right.
I haven't gotten a transition pull yet necessarily, but at least I'm getting some decent close
games. Well, you got a pull that can score goals from 70 yards away, so that's a start.
This is true, too. And you know, I mean, McGillis showed, he can kind of, he's not quite an LSM, but he's covered middies and stuff before. I wouldn't feel totally bad trying to push him up top a little bit if I needed to, so.
Well, moving on, Rochester Rattlers picking number 20, you know. The two guys that I was looking at, well, the two of the three guys I was looking at, but all of them did fall to me. I'm going to go with a guy who I think had a breakout tournament. He was drafted, but at the same time, not, you know, just NCAA tournament, but ECAC tournament as well. And I'm going to go with Dominique Alexander out of Ohio State.
Oh, damn it. That's a good pick.
I like that one too, but I had enough transition middies at Ohio that I had to kind of leave that one behind.
Yeah, you might want to get someone that can dodge.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea.
I love his dodging style. I've said and written this a couple other places, but in case you haven't heard it, the thing that I love most about Alexander is how good he is at drawing a slide when it seems he's so confident in the fact that he's only going to halfway dodge, meaning that if he starts at like between the 35 and the 40, he's going to get to the 25, the slide will come, and he knows he's not going to go beyond that. So he can deliver a short pass through the slide to somebody who's following the slide for a quick, easy turn and finish. And it's, you know, whether it was Jesse King or Turner Evans banging that home, seemed like he was able to do that like six times in three games between the ECAC semifinals and the first round of the NCAA tournament. Wasn't able to do it nearly as effectively against Cornell, although I think he did do it once in the third quarter. And just such an unbelievable skill. I'm not sure how long it'll take MLL defenses to figure it out, but it's such an effective play. So I want a guy that can do that on my roster, particularly if the ball he's given, or if he's given the ball to Kevin Lavelle.
Valid point.
Yeah.
There.
21, Hamilton Nationals.
All right. Hamilton Nationals. Tempted to take another long stick, but we'll save him because I'm sure he's not even on you guys' boards. Hamilton Nationals select Kevin Cooper, Maryland. Guy that can slash, play both ways, big body. A little trouble getting to the cage sometimes, but excellent, excellent fit in the system.
I'm going to blow up your spot and say that the guy that you think is not on our board is Jordan Helpe.
Maybe.
Wow, spot blown.
That's tough. That was hurtful. You got that from the Twitter, though. That's not fair.
I absolutely did not get it from the Twitter. I don't even know if I follow you anymore.
Oh. Yeah, I'm kind of obnoxious.
That's not true. But it is true that you're obnoxious. It's not true. I know that I do follow you, but I didn't see that Jordan Helpe is, I don't know, he might have been, out of all the guys that didn't get drafted, he's probably like a top five player, I think, off the board. So, all right, let's move. Let's keep them moving. Boston Cannons, number 22.
Boston Cannons select another transition long pole, Roger Ferguson out of Brown.
Local product, reasonable pick.
Yep. Guy that fits their system. So, the Cannons so far are Ferguson, Poley, Sawyer, and Schiff. Nice.
I think that's, yeah, that's a pretty good draft. I don't know, Ferguson... I don't know.
He's been good for Denver, actually. He's been really good.
He's surprised. That doesn't surprise me. He's the type of player that I feel like is going to be better in the MLL than he was at Brown.
Well, yeah, he had a lot of responsibility at Brown. I mean, Brown's not a great team. So he had to do a lot more. Like, he would carry the ball up and, like, stay on. You know, he would pull the Brody for them for long stretches of games if you watch them play.
All right, number 23, Denver Outlaws.
All right, well, I guess I got a trend going, so I'll keep it going, and it'll be my turn to draw everyone's ire and spite. Thank you, Kyle, for the suggestion. I'll take Jordan Holtby if my next pick.
Setting. Kyle's upset.
Did you just call for a medic?
Well, he said upsetting.
Oh. I thought you were threatening to hurt yourself.
No.
We haven't gotten that far yet.
Not that dramatic.
Wow.
Thanks, though.
But, I mean, I need a transition guy. He fits the bill, and I was really impressed by how well a takeaway guy like Karalunas seems to transition into the MLL, so I'll hope that that Holtby kind of has a similar trajectory.
Well, until this year, when he's even getting smoked. But
Well, see, that's the thing, Kyle. I don't really wind up catching up too much to the MLL scene until NCAA finally dies down. So, unfortunately, I haven't seen him getting smoked yet, so I still have only fond memories of Karalunas seeming to...
I love Karalunas. He's playing out of position, and
yeah.
Believe it knows it. So, it's all right. It's all good.
Matt, you've been sitting there waiting for a while. We're back around to you. Number 24,
yeah,
Charlotte Hounds.
I can see why some of these people drink at the draft if you're sitting there and... There's 15 picks between your last pick and yours, and you're just seeing people on your draft list. I think everyone that was picked here was someone that, the Charlotte Hounds really could have used. Jordan Holtby was kind of a killer.
So you say you're drinking out of boredom or sadness, Matt?
A little bit of both. So this kind of puts me in a tough position. I'm gonna go off the board off someone who. Wasn't drafted, and I don't know. Might not be the greatest pick, but I would take a risk here and go with Dylan Ward and Ballerine.
I was wondering when that was going to happen. I was actually just looking up the goalie stats to figure out who's having the most goalie trouble this year. I was hopeful that he was going to go. You know, I don't feel like Rochester Chesapeake wasn't sure that I was in a position necessarily to draft you. I think that despite the fact that. John Galloway's at 44% right now. I would imagine they're very committed to him. The Rattlers and Kip Turner, he's having it's amazing that he's only letting in, less than 7.5 goals a game, but he's still not having clearly the best goalie season so far. As Brett Queener and Drew Adams are both at 65% or above. Queener is probably over 70% if the stats are being, properly kept. But yeah, that's a good pick. There's been some instability, in net for Charlotte between, Manos and Gittleman. And, if he can be above 43%, he's going to be the best goalie on the roster.
Yeah. And there's thought, I have two picks coming up pretty quickly. So, there's just so many players at other positions, that are kind of on the same level. Whereas goalie, there's only really two guys who were, I'd say, draftable, in the first four rounds. At goalie, so I just wanted to get that off the board as quickly as possible there.
Well, in the interest of time, we got 5 minutes left in this draft, so we're going to go speed round. I've got the Rochester Rattlers picking first at number 25 in round 4, and I think I'm just going to go with the guy who, I kind of consider to be the best player available, another guy that's off the board in terms of wasn't drafted. I'm just going to go Jeff Ricaro. Face-off attackman out of Princeton.
Stole him.
Wow.
I kind of was surprised I never saw him drafted in the first place. And I mean, everybody loves Schreiber in Princeton, but I think that in some ways for Carl was kind of the real engine behind a lot of just the way he played on the field. And I mean, I know Shriver's obviously the more talented player, and obviously more the offense runs through him. But there's something about the way Ficarro plays. You kind of tell he was the guy who stirred the drink at times, or at least was the engine behind it. So,
number 26, Hamilton Nationals.
Hamilton Nationals select the toughest player available, Jake Trpiuka, Duke.
Now, how much of that is based off of the tournament he had?
A lot. A lot of that is based off of that. That hit he took from McGill, and when he popped up and he knew it was basically the game winner, that's a draftable moment right there. That's right. I think my opinion.
Kyle, you had another guy that was on definitely high on my list, and Terry, I think you got the steal of the draft there. I think number 25 with Ficarro. It kind of just completely flipped my mind, and that was just pretty stupid.
Yeah, I had him on my my guys that I was hoping would fall in the late rounds, and Terry scooped him up.
Well, I'm going to, as my role as Charlotte GM, I am going to screw over myself as GM of the New York franchise, and I'm going to go with Jeff Tundo as my pick here, number 27.
And coming right back to you with 28.
Yeah, I haven't thought that far ahead yet, to be quite honest.
Available talent, you know, that's always
available talent. Jake Trpiuka was definitely the guy I was kind of eyeing up at this pick. I thought I would be able to get him down here, but clearly Kyle and I are kind of thinking the same way, which is scary. But let's see. Has Davis Butts gone yet?
Butts is still on the board.
Yeah. I will be going with Davis Butts.
Right on. A lot of versatility and dodging in that group right there, offensive influx. Zach Babbo.
All right. I think I can probably step away from defense for a minute here, as I'm not really enamored to any maybe polls left on the board. I'm really kind of torn. A lot of the guys obviously have already been picked up for me. I like trying to get a little more midfield depth. But I guess, you know what, everybody's kind of gets to pick one for how they did in the tournament. And I'm just really impressed, especially after hearing from him with Josh Offit. I just think he's a smart guy. He nearly plays Canadian with how crafty he is getting open around the ball. And you can play him at attack or midfield, so he adds a little bit of versatility to him. So I'll take Offit there with my last pick. Or actually, no, it's not my last pick. That's right, I get the 31st. So, okay, I can still kick around for somebody else maybe later.
There you go. Boston, number 30.
One thing can't teach speed. Boston selects Lee Coppersmith.
I knew I should have stepped up and taken him there.
Bam.
All right, well, who are you going to take?
Oh, well, geez, not the main guy I wanted to take is off the board. I mean, there's just not really a midi that jumps out to me that I really, you know, want to run with right now. I guess, I like his toughness. I like him as a shorty D, so I'll take a Landon Carr with my last pick.
That is a stake to the heart of the Chesapeake Bayhawks. However, I'm going to try to provide a little bit of defensive depth, athleticism, youth, all things I think they need. So I'm going to take Mike McCormick out of Yale with the Mr. Irrelevant pick of this draft. I love that guy. You know, how he fits into the Bayhawks, we'll see. We won't see, but, you know, theoretically we will see.
Would it be fair to call him the antithesis of the defense they already have?
I mean, to a degree. I don't think he's a slugger, but I think he's smart. I think he would do a good job fitting in there. But that's all the time we've got for the inaugural, potentially. I don't know if we'll remember to do this next year. Maybe I'll switch the draft back to post-college, post the college season. But Matt, Zach, Kyle, thank you for joining us on the MLL Draft Podcast, and maybe we'll come back and rehash this not too long down the future.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds good. Cool. Thanks, Kamish.
Inside the Cross Podcast.